Hello, gluttoneers. Welcome to High Gluttony. I am today making a braised pork shoulder from Anthony Bourdain's Appetites book, because I bought that book probably at least 6 or 7 years ago now, and I think I've made exactly one thing out of it. When I was looking for something to do for this recording and was thinking about what we haven't really done, because I was like, well, I could make pasta, I could do this, I could do this. Sweet, no, I'm kind of not in the mood for that right now. What do we want? What do we want? What do we want? And what do I need to be eating? More meat. As a result, I went through the Fat Duck cookbook from Heston Blumenthal, which is pretentious as fuck and really just too much. We're not doing that. Don't ever expect to see anything from that book on this podcast, because it's way too much of a faff. Just not gonna do it. But I came across this recipe and was intrigued because it uses Coke as part of the braising process. Not cocaine, Coca-Cola. Really any cola, but I did go with the traditional standard Coke. Just out of pure curiosity, I picked this recipe. Now the full recipe from the book makes enough for 8 to 12 people. I've trimmed the recipe down significantly. I will read out the volume I am making, which still looks like it's at least enough for 3 or 4 people as a reasonable sized dinner portion. Especially if you're doing a dinner, like a full-on dinner. Bourdain also suggested serving this with sticky rice and fried shallots and pickled cucumbers. I'm forgoing the fried shallots because it is very warm here today. I do not want to fry anything. I just couldn't be bothered. I did make some pickles, but I skipped the rice as, again, I'm looking for things with iron. And rice basically has none that I've seen, at least the white rice. And I didn't have any. I would have used some had I had some. But since that was not available, I did soba noodles instead. Kind of an interesting thrown together dinner. I may also fry the soba noodles into like a soba noodle cake if I'm feeling so inspired, because I'm kind of curious to try something like that. But I may just leave them cold and eat it that way as well. Haven't fully decided. We'll have to make that decision at some point. I am not having any alcohol today, although it did occur to me to do rum and Coke. I bought big bottles of Coke and then decided I didn't really want to open a big can of Coke or big bottle of Coke to make rum and Coke, because I'd feel like I'd have to drink the whole bottle. And trying not to drink as much sugar, and I've already had quite a bit today. So I'm just having some sparkling water, which I've dropped some of the preserved lemons into. Actually doing a summer strawberry sparkling water from Whole Foods with it, and it's quite tasty. I like the combo. And then I have been smoking a Pure Beauty CBD joint. Doesn't even have THC content at all, or if it does, it's very low. I like that, you know, like being functional and staying on track with these recordings. It makes it much easier to edit. And I don't have Becca here to help me stay on track. I'm gonna have a little bit more of a CBD joint while we discuss braising. And what is it? Braising is part of moist heat cooking, which includes stewing and poaching. And it sort of comes down to your heat applications and how much liquid is your differentiation between the three. Stewing, which in my brain is pretty much interchangeable with braising, but I think when I was looking on Food and Cooking, when they were referring to stewing, there was a higher volume of liquid. Braising uses sort of a small amount of liquid. And then there's poaching, which uses more liquid, but it's a lower temperature. And generally speaking, I've not seen anybody do this with, like, where you put it in the oven. I suppose you could, but it's usually stovetop. The word braise, well, the original cooking term referred to the brassiere, which is a vessel used in France where you would actually put it on top of some coals and then shovel coals on top of it. You would get all around heat on the container. Now most people use an oven because we're not working with coals anymore. And again, that smaller amount of liquid. I think mine, when I made this, I had maybe about a cup of liquid total when I threw it in the oven. And it really cooked down. I ended up having to toss a little bit of water in it to cool it down, which actually was a suggestion that came up in, I think, on Food and Cooking. If you've cooked it too long and need to stop the cooking, all you have to do is toss a bit of cooled cooking liquid or water or something into the pot, and that brings the temperature down, and as a result, halts your cooking. So the main reasons you want to cook in liquid: helps maintain moisture. Don't let that lull you into a false sense of security. You can dry out meat in a fully moist environment, and this has to do with how long you've cooked it, because at a certain point, the water will just start to leach out and then cannot go back in. It's a more even cooking, since you're surrounding the meat or fish or whatever in liquid. Although braising, obviously, you're not completely surrounding it, but stewing and poaching, you would be. Since water is easier to adjust, that also helps, versus like when you're working with an oven or something, you retain heat much easier in that environment. You can also use it to impart flavors. Using a flavorful braising liquid is always a good thing. One of the main reasons to braise is if you have a particularly tough cut of meat. So for example, with this pork shoulder, that cut has a lot of collagen in it because it's been worked. Collagen is part of the ligaments and other parts of that nature that help keep muscle in place. They also run, it runs through the meat itself to help the muscles work. That starts to break down at a minimum temperature of 160 degrees, a maximum temperature of 180. And you want that transition, especially in a pork shoulder or something like that, because it's going to make your meat taste much better. And the gelatin can actually help hold moisture in the meat itself. But keeping moisture around the meat, because the meat fibers themselves only need to cook to 150. So when you keep a moist environment, you're not allowing as much moisture to come out of the meat. But as I said, it can and will happen depending on if you cook it too long, if you've got your heat up too high. That's your number one killer, is incorrect application of heat. If you're boiling the shit out of some meat, it'll dry out every time. Just don't do it. I did see that in this recipe from Appetites, Bourdain recommends letting it cool in the liquid for flavor's sake. But in On Food and Cooking, it did say there also is some amount of, as the meat fibers relax as it cools, some of that moisture is pulled back into the meat, which helps with the flavor, blah, blah, blah. I think that's enough of that. Now let's talk about Coke and why I'm so intrigued by it and why it's a good thing in cooking. The one advantage with using Coke in a recipe like this, it's sort of akin to using wine because it brings some acidity, obviously a lot more complex flavor than water, and the flavor profile can contribute to the meat. Obviously, it's not something you want to use in everywhere. I would not be doing this on a pot roast because I think the carameliness would be kind of weird with that dish. Bourdain actually uses soy sauce. It's kind of an Asian-y influence because it's soy sauce, miso, rice vinegar. There's quite a bit of actual acidity in this that you don't necessarily need the Coke to bring in, but that is one of the advantages that's brought up in many of the articles I looked at. Namely, I've got some information from Epicurious and Southern Kitchen, which you should and should not cook with Coca-Cola from Southern Kitchen. And why should soda pop go into my barbecue is the article by Epicurious. Now, on the savory side, it says you can use it as a marinade, but due to the acidity, you don't want to let it sit in there for too long. Otherwise, the fibers will just really start to break down. You'll get mushy meat. It's pretty gross when that happens. So I would probably marinate something in Coke for 8 hours at most. Epicurious did say 24, but I'd say 8 at most to be safe. That's also because you're imparting some sugar into the meat, so that'll crisp up a little bit easier as well. Suggested was replacing the wine from a braise with soda, which is what we've done here. I've also seen for use in chicken wings and barbecue and ham, where it's mostly making up the sauce, or, I mean, you could marinate things in it and then barbecue. I would think that would be pretty good. And you want a crust on good barbecue, so that makes it would make a lot of sense to use it. But on the sweet side of things, you have it in cake recipes. Southern Kitchen was talking about recipes where they're claiming to replace fat and stuff with it. That doesn't fucking work. That will never work. It is not a replacement for fat. You can use it as a replacement for liquid and to help live in the cake with the carbonation. But other than that, you're not going to get any benefit from like a fatless cake. You can't use a soda as a fat replacement. It's never going to work because there is no fat in soda. It's all sugar. Lots of Coca-Cola cakes. May have to try that one of these days because it sounds pretty good. But you also could make syrups to put on top of desserts with it. It just depends on your preference. I probably wouldn't be going that route myself. If you like a good, nice syrup on something, could work. Or you could use it as a syrup to soak a cake with. Ooh. Hmm. Yes. Thoughts, ideas, various things. So that's braising and a little bit of chat about why soda could be a good thing. Now we're going to get into the recipe. And again, this is scaled down. So from 8 to 12 people to one-ish. One person for 4 days. I got, well, I think it was 2 1/4 pounds of pork shoulder. I used salt to taste. I never quite follow the amount. He was saying 1 to 2 tablespoons approximately. Black pepper, there wasn't an amount given. He did give an amount for the peanut oil, but since part of that was also for frying the shallots, total, I think I need I used about 1/4 cup of peanut oil, which is what he recommended for searing the roast anyway. 1/4 large onion or 1 shallot. I actually used 1/2 large onion, just chopped, like big rough chop. 5 garlic cloves, 2 to 3 slices of ginger. I did do 3. 2 tablespoons rice vinegar, 1/4 cup soy sauce, 3/4 cup Coke, 1 tablespoon of red miso, 1 cucumber is what I've got for pickling. 1/2 cup of white wine vinegar. I actually used rice wine vinegar. 1/2 cup of water. 1 tablespoon of sugar. And I threw some salt in there. And then if you want the fried shallot, it would be 1 large shallot for this version of the recipe for less people. And then his recommended sides, which were cooked sticky rice and hot sauce. Probably will use the hot sauce. Not doing the sticky rice. We've got our soba. Our equipment is an oven-proof braising vessel, so I used a Cuisinart cast iron pan, a mixing bowl, a saucepan for frying the shallots, and then a pan for frying or reheating the meat. I'm actually using my cast iron pan. And I could read you the entire recipe out of the book, but there's a lot of text to it, so I'm just going to tell you the basics of what I've already done. I have completely done the full braise. I did it yesterday, let it sit overnight in the little bit of liquid that was left, and now I'm going to prep and serve this, but I'm going to take you through the whole steps of the recipe, just very bare bones, because I didn't feel like typing this all out, and I've moved the book away, so you're just going to have to deal with it. And plus, I'm eliminating the fried shallots, so don't really need that as much. You'll start out by searing your pork shoulder, ideally in the pan you're going to cook it in, making sure you get it nice and brown on all sides. What I didn't do, but I probably should have done, was do the cold pan start method. But I did heat up the pan and then sear. I didn't love the amount, like the way the crust looked on it. I would probably start with a cold sear next time and go from there. Once you've got the pork all seared on all sides, so you got some nice browning, remove it from the pan and dump out the fat. It did say all but one tablespoon, but I found my pan was quite fatty. I generally will dump all of the fat out and then put my veg in, and if I need a little more oil on it, I will add it back. And I ended up doing that yesterday, was not getting the color development I wanted, so tossed a little extra oil in there. And then I added all the liquid components, so that's the rice wine vinegar, the Coke soy sauce, and the red miso paste goes in at the same time. Whisk those together until the miso's all broken up, then boil that for 5 minutes to reduce. Add your pork shoulder back in, put it in a 300-degree oven for about 4 hours or until tender. Mine did take the full 4 hours. I actually ended up taking a nap through the last hour of cooking, and then remove it from the oven and let it cool in the liquid. Once it's cooled down some, you can put it into a container. If you've got bones in your roast, my roast did not have any bones yesterday, remove them at this time. Cover with the cooking liquid and put in the fridge to sit overnight. Then today I shredded the meat, mixed in the juices, which it said as much as you need. I ended up using them all because I had maybe a half a cup of juices anyway. And it says sear in a pan to reheat and crisp the edges and serve. I'm pretty excited about this. This is my dinner. I am quite hungry. How about we get on with it and cook this stuff up? I have to make a decision now on my noodle cake, if I'm doing noodle cake or just noodles. Probably just do noodles. It is warm in here, and I would like to be done cooking as soon as possible. Let's move over to the kitchen. Hopefully this will go quickly. Oh, and I've already made my pickles, which were just one cucumber, half of an onion, thinly sliced, chopped up the cucumber into half moons, and then mixed rice wine vinegar with water and a tablespoon of sugar, added a little salt, and then mixed that together. So that's all done too. So nice, refreshing pickle to go with our meat. I've been warming my pan up for a little while. Just tipping my pan around to get my oil spread out. Crank the heat up a little bit. And then I will wash my hands while I'm waiting for that to just come up to heat. Shouldn't take too long for this to come up because it's already been sitting over a low flame for a while. I did set the fat to the side. I'm putting a piece of fat in there and smush it with a fork. That's starting to brown a little bit. So I will say that the pan is probably hot enough. It does have a really intriguing flavor profile to it. Definitely get a lot of the soy. I'm sure the miso is bumping that up as well. I'm gonna let that sit for a minute and assemble my dish. I've decided to go with cold noodles for today. And I did season these a little bit with some soy sauce and sesame oil and rice wine vinegar. And I shredded up some carrot and made some long strands of green onion to go in it. Very tasty. Got my pickles. I'm gonna drop some of these on the plate. Oops. Well, definitely starting to get some crispy bits in here. Ooh, really crispy. Let's taste it. Quite salty, but that's all right. Now I'm going to eat it with a bite of cucumber. Mmm. Yeah. It's really good. I can see why the crispy onions would be a good addition to this. But that is not going to stop me from devouring this whole thing in 3 seconds flat. I like the combination of the Asian-y flavors in the meat with the soba noodles, which are pretty neutral, and then the lightly pickled cucumber. So overall, I say a success. And our first braise. What do you think? Braising? Now braising? My recommendation is not braising when it's 90 degrees outside, because it just gets hot in here. And that was yesterday. Today was a little bit better, but save those braises for the winter, people. Let them help heat your house. And amazingly, it's still going to be a shortish episode. All right, gluttoneers, thank you for joining me on this delicious porky journey. Not sure what's coming up next. I'm just doing this one recording today and have made no decisions on anything that we might be doing upcoming. Give me a shout if you have some suggestions on something I should do. Apparently, I'm running out of ideas. Anyway, off we go. Don't have my coconuts. Cup to hands left to do.